going to be reading several passages of Scripture. First of all, we'd like for you to turn to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49. Verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and an ass's colt unto the choice vine. Now, Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. Verse 12. That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males. But all the firstborn of the children, of my children, I redeem. John chapter 12, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting upon an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. I'm sure the Lord will bless to our hearts the reading of his word. It's an interesting thing as you read the scriptures to see what the scriptures do for man. And one of the things which the scriptures do for man is it takes an entirely different attitude toward man than what modern man seems to try to project from time to time. It is my conclusion that God can only bless a man whenever he is brought to a real understanding of his position before God. And this is one thing that the Word of God is faithful to do, to show us what our position before God really is. God takes some rather interesting ways of bringing this before our hearts, and we're going to be looking at this morning and from these passages of Scripture before us. In Exodus chapter 3, we read concerning a situation there where you see the challenge or the edict of God, perhaps we should say, that in verse 13, that the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. God is setting before the children of Israel a picture of a lesson which illustrates to man his standing before God in his natural condition. And it's in a rather striking way that God makes this presentation to man. He stands this creature before him, this donkey, and we see that here's this donkey who is standing before the altar, and here's a creature that, as you read back in the preceding verses, it says that the firstborn of the other animals, they belong to the Lord. The first thing that cometh of a beast shall be the Lord's. So here is something that can be offered unto the Lord. But he says, now the firstling of an ass, you cannot offer that to the Lord. He must be redeemed. So here he stands before the altar of God, and if he is going to live, someone else must die. And so alongside of this donkey, alongside of this ass, there stands the man. And it says concerning the man, the firstling of the children, or the firstling of the man, thou must redeem. He is not fit to be offered to God. What a tremendous lesson there is for our hearts, because there is the tendency within the heart of man to believe, particularly in our modern society, there is a tendency on the part of man to believe that there is something within us, according to nature, that we can offer to God that will be acceptable unto him. And so consequently, we find ourselves going through all kinds of rituals, and men have a tendency in the realm of church relationship to try to magnify or try to emphasize this particular aspect of man's relationship with God. I had a friend down home years ago who said I hadn't been to church in years. I'd been a member of this particular church down there. He said, I hadn't been there in years. And he said, I wasn't even saved, he said. He went on to tell about the riotous living that was involved in at that particular time. And one day, he said, the preacher came by and he said to him, why don't you come back to church? Well, he says, I'm not fit to be there. Well, he says, come on back and pay up your tithes, and says, you'll be all right. Well, you see, this is the kind of thing which is spoken, and this is the kind of thing which is demonstrated in the realm of religion. But here stands the man before the altar, alongside of the donkey, and both of them has to be redeemed. And that is a truth which man needs to learn, that redemption is absolutely mandatory for man. In order for me to live, because in view of the fact that I am a sinner, the only way that I can live is by the death of another. And it is only by the death of the Son of God that a sinner can live. It's only through him. We cannot offer ourselves, we cannot present ourselves. You read the scripture says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present our bodies, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. But that is not to the unsaved individual. It is not a turning over of a new leaf. It is a responsibility of man as he stands before God, recognizing that he is. If we understand ourselves aright, we realize that before God we are under the sentence of death. And not only this, but when you'll find this, when you look in Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us there that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. So it is not an isolated statement that is before us here. Here is one under the sentence of death, and a man stands alongside of the ass, and he is condemned. What a blow to the pride of man. What a blow to our pride. Because you see, man wants to believe that there is something innate within man that gives him an edge, so to speak. I told you, I think, I don't always remember where I told you, I only have a few stories that I can share with you, but I remember walking alongside of this man who was telling about, he was doing a prison ministry down in our area, and he was saying that, I have learned, he said, oh, I enjoy that in there, he says, I have learned that there is a divine spark in every man, and all we have to do is fan it and let it catch up and let it begin to glow. That's not what the Word of God says. There's not this divine spark within us. There is within us this condemnation. We stand condemned before God. We are made to realize that when we come into the presence of God, we come as beggars. You remember, do you not, how the Lord Jesus, whenever he was confronted with this woman, and she came to the Lord with a request to him, and she said, she was not a Jew, you remember, and he says to her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now that would have been an insult to some people. But what was her answer? Truth, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Though I am not worthy to eat at the table, I'll take the crumbs which fall from the master's table. If it comes from your table, I'm willing to receive the crumbs which fall. Are we willing to take that place? There was another who came to the Lord Jesus, and he was wanting his servant to be healed, and he says, well, I'll come and heal him. And he says, well, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Speak the word, and my servant will be healed. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. You see, here are individuals who understand and appreciate the majesty of the person of Christ, and who understand the significance of the glory and the greatness of God, and yet who understands that we ourselves are sinners under the condemnation of death in this world, not worthy of the least of the mercies of God. The colt, the donkey. It's interesting, is it not, when you go to the book of Job and you read there concerning the donkey or the ass is mentioned in a couple of places there in the book of Job. First is in chapter 11. You remember it says, vain man would be wise, though man be born as a wild ass's colt. Well, this is certainly a very typical description of many young folks that we know, isn't it? Maybe it's older ones too. It's probably quite an apt description of many of our lives. We think back and we can remember, and we see all around us people of various ages who are saying unto man and saying unto God, I dare you to try to bring me under control. Isn't it true that we have such riotousness and such unrest in our society today simply because of the fact that this is the characteristic of man according to nature? I refuse to be brought under control. I refuse. I dare anyone to try to bridle me, if you will. And I believe it is over in about chapter 39 of the book of Job, how he talks about he's being out in the wilderness, and he is running to and fro in the wilderness. He's eating out what is out in the wilderness, and he is out, he is not under the control of any driver. No one is going to control him. Why do you suppose that God uses an ass to typify man in his natural state? That's because that's the way we behave. That's the way we behave. We're told in the Psalms to be not as the horse and the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth has to be turned about by a bit and bridle. I heard the story years ago about a man that had an old cantankerous mule. He couldn't get him to work just right. And so every time he got him out in the field, he had to kind of whoop up on him a little bit and get him straightened out. And so they tell the story of some fellows watching him go out there one day. Said the first thing he did, he went through and picked him up a 2x4 and hit him in the side of the head. And what in the world did you do that for? He said, I got to get his attention. And sometimes the Lord has to get our attention. I was sitting over in Duke Hospital a little over a week ago, sitting there with a man, he's a middle-aged fellow, close to 60, that's middle-aged to me now. But there we were sitting, and here's a man who had polio. As a young man, had a leg in his and a brace, and he's there now at this time waiting. I'm only saying these things to give you a description of what the circumstances were. And there he was sitting and waiting to be going into the surgery for a bypass surgery. Hardly had any legs to get the veins from. And there he was sitting, and he has for the last 20 years come to the meeting down in Pembroke, and the gospel has been preached there almost every Lord's Day, and he's been there week after week after week after week, rejecting the gospel. And there he sat. I said, Henry, wouldn't it be better for you to go into this surgery knowing the Lord than to go in there as you are? He said, well, I guess it would be. I said, well, what's the problem? He said, I guess I'm too hard-headed. You know what he told me just then? I'm just like the old donkey. I'm just like the ass. I'm hard-headed. I'm stubborn. I said, well, it'd be a good day to get saved. Well, yeah, I guess so. And we talked for some time, and then finally I said, I want to know something. Would you let the Lord save you today? Well, I ought to. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, will you let the Lord save you today? It's not should I or, well, it's will you. And that man bowed his head and he says, yes, I will. And he started calling on the Lord and asked the Lord to save him there in that room. And he reached out and he grabbed my hand and he called me brother. His wife and my wife and his daughter were standing out in the hallway. And I went and got them. And we had a little revival there going on for just a few minutes. And he said, you know, he felt that heart monitor. He says, I'm surprised that thing didn't blow right all to pieces. You see, here he was. He understood. In my natural state, I'm like the donkey. I will not. I'm hard-headed. I am stubborn. And that's a tragic thing in the lives of so many in the world today. But the Lord Jesus Christ can change those things. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, you read there about the Lord Jesus Christ as he is about to come into, make his entry into the city of Jerusalem. And he sends his disciples and he says, you go and you will find this colt tied. He says, you bring him to me. The colt that is tied, you bring him to me. Do you notice he didn't send them out in the wilderness looking for one that is still running around? Here is one that has been brought under control, and the Lord uses circumstances to bring us under control. Sometimes he puts us in a hospital room facing surgery. A young fellow we knew over there in the same place, He's now waiting for a heart transplant, but he was waiting for bypass surgery at this time. And I saw him on Tuesday and challenged him to be saved. He was having surgery Friday. He said, I had 3 days left. I didn't have to get saved that day. And Wednesday, he said, I still had 2 days left. And Thursday, I still had a day left. Until that night when the nurse came in and says, I'm getting ready to give you something going to put you to sleep. The next thing you will know, you will have had your surgery. Now, do you have a ticket to heaven? No. Well, you better get one. He says, I didn't have any other days left. Now the cold is tied. And God can use, he can speak to, he can address this colt that is tied. So we have the donkey, first of all. Then you have the deliverer. And we read that passage in Genesis 49, where it talks about Judah and how that the colt is going to be tied to the vine. The vine that is rolling over, running over the over the wall. This is the blessing of the Lord that is going out, and it is spreading out to men and women throughout the world. And here's a colt that is tied to it. So what the Lord is going to do, he's going to take the lowliest of us, and he is going to join us to the blessing of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only means of blessing that God has for this poor, sinful world. It's through his Son, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It is only through him that men can be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you're here this morning without Christ, you need him. You need the Lord Jesus Christ, because the only way of salvation that God has provided is through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And you need him worse than all. You remember there was a man on one occasion. We read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 9. How here David, he is ascending to the throne now. And one of the things which he does, he asks the question, is there any of the household of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Oh, yes, there is one. By the name of Mephibosheth, and he is lame on both feet. Bring him here. Mephibosheth comes into the presence of the king, and he falls down before him, and he tells him, he says, look, Mephibosheth is going to eat bread at the king's table. He's going to be brought into the as if he were one of my own sons and set at the king's table, and he's going to be able to fellowship at the table of the king. Well, Mephibosheth would say, well, who am I that you should be so kind to such a dead dog as I? You thought I was talking bad about you when I called you a donkey. He called himself a dead dog. He is doing it for Jonathan's sake. He's doing it for the sake of another. God will set us into his presence this morning because of another, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the presence of God in him. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is through him that we have life, and in him that we have life. So we see the deliverer coming to deliver this donkey in this particular fashion. You remember as well, when we come to the New Testament in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, there's the story of this man. He goes to his father, give me the portions of good which befalleth me. And he divides unto him his living. He goes into the far country. He wastes his substance in riotous living. And he spends all that he has. Joins himself to one that he can feed the swine. And he ends up feeding with the swine. And then he begins, it says he came to himself. And as he came to himself, he would ask the question, how many hired servants is my father that have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? How foolish am I to stay here? You remember in Isaiah, the Lord says, come now, let us reason together. It's a good thing when a man will sit down and begin to reason about his circumstances, where I am, alienated from God, estranged from God, and why should I stay here and perish? Well, I can arise and go to my father. But why should his father say anything? Why should his father care about him now? Why should his father welcome him back? Because it's the father's heart that is in operation here. He goes back. And the word of God says when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and ran where he was. He is the deliverer. The father is the one who delivers him from his poverty, from his wretchedness, from his filthiness, and he brings him back, and he brings him into the house, and he takes care of his hunger. He says, bring forth the fatted calf. He takes care of his nakedness. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put the shoes on his feet. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. This is what God wants to do for sinners. This is what he wants to do for men and women who are alienated from himself. He wants to deliver them and bring them into a place of fellowship with himself. Well, this donkey needed a deliverer, and he got one. And you have the expression in Zechariah chapter 9, which is quoted in all three of your Gospels, and all four of the Gospels, I believe, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, this one who is coming, riding upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. And yet, we're told there in John chapter 12 that the disciples didn't understand the significance of that. But Zechariah is telling us how that in the lowliness of this one who is coming, he is associating himself with man in his lowest state. I read years ago where it was said that if a man or a king or a man of great authority is coming into town, of course, this is not in our modern culture so much today, but that he would come in riding a horse. And of course, if you see the pictures of those men who rode in the cavalry back in the Civil War days and back in the days before the modern warfare equipment that men are experiencing today, they came in on horses, and usually the general had a horse that was totally different from all the other horses. All the other horses may be dark, and he comes in on the white horse, or he may come in on some brightly red, almost a red-looking horse, or whatever. His horse was always different from anybody else's. He was unmistakably clear who he was, because he's the general, he's the conqueror, he's coming in with authority. We're told about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming in again, he's coming in riding a white horse. But on this memorable occasion, he's not on a horse. And we were told that when a man comes into the city or among the people to be their benefactor, he comes in riding a donkey. And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the city, to be the benefactor. And so in lowliness, he comes into the city, and this lowliness of him is in association with those who were typified as the donkey himself. Was it not said of him when he was here upon the earth that he was a friend of sinners? There was one who came to him on one occasion and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst. And he said to that leper, he says, I will, be thou clean. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ could go to the leper. And the leper at that time was probably the lowest of men in all the place. People would stay away from the leper. We read in the Old Testament how he must hold his hand upon his above his mouth on his mustache, and he must cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" And so, it was not politically incorrect at that time to do things like that. And so he's there identifying himself as an unclean one. And if one would go over and shake his hand or touch him in any way whatsoever, he is defiled, and he must join the leper. The Lord Jesus Christ could go and lay his hands upon the leper, and he could come and join the Lord Jesus. He could be cleansed. He was a friend of sinners. He came in lowliness. We find also, we read there in John chapter 12, it's interesting how you read those, now these different accounts that you have in the Gospels concerning the Lord going out and reaching, searching for these individuals, searching for this colt. When one of them, he sends his disciples and he says, you go find him. And when you find him, you bring him to me. And of course, this is how the Lord Jesus Christ worked. And John chapter 1, where we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he approached the various individuals as they under various circumstances. In John chapter 1, verse 43, the following day Jesus would go forth unto Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. The Lord Jesus went to him. He found him and he spoke to him and he said, you follow me. In John chapter 4, you remember, it's interesting the language there, how the Lord was, from Judea to Galilee, and it says that he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Why must he needs go through Samaria? Because you remember he encountered this woman at the well. He must needs go through Samaria. She was there. He was going there. He was going to where she was. And he was going to present himself to her in a very remarkable way as the one who is able to give water from a well which would never run dry. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he searches for our heart, searches us out as well. And so we see him going to this we see him going to this donkey in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, and it simply says to him that he found the donkey, and he sat on the donkey. And it was a colt, actually, the foal of the ass. It's a small, weak creature. When the Lord found you, how strong were you? When the Lord came to where you were, how much strength did you have? When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength. We were weak. We couldn't walk for God. We couldn't live for God. We couldn't speak for God. But when the Lord Jesus Christ got hold of our lives, then we went in his strength. He enabled us to go. Here he takes the reins of this creature, it seems, and he goes driving in, or he goes riding into the city, because now here is one under the control of God. He is under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's no longer this creature that is out in the wilderness snorting at the wind and daring anyone to put a bridle upon him. The Lord Jesus Christ seeks to bring men and women in our stubbornness and our stubborn will brought into His presence and to be brought under His control. Have you found yourself there? Have you found yourself under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you still snorting at the wind, if you will, daring anyone to bring you under control? Still continuing to insist on having your own way? Well, then we have one more scripture for you in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, it's Mark's account of this same incident. And it's interesting that Mark adds something that I don't think either of the others have. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, in verse 2, and he saith unto them, Go your way unto the village over against you, and as soon as you are entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him to me. And if any man say unto you, Why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. It's a marvelous thing to my heart this morning that God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who could say the cattle on a thousand hills are the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. He could say to Israel, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. But he says, I need him. Did you ever think of the fact that maybe the Lord has need for you? There's a ministry that you could do. There's a service that God that you could perform for God. The Lord hath need of him. But then you notice in verse 4, and they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. It's a crossroad. Some of you are at the crossroad this morning. There you stand. You're tied at the crossroad. You're here this morning. You're listening to the Word of God. You are hearing the challenges brought to your heart about turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sought to point out to your heart how that God sets before us the unmistakable language that the ass and the man stands in need of redemption. And the only means of life and the only way that we can live is through the death of another. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can have life. And you are choosing this morning. Some of you are not saved. And you're choosing this morning whether to receive Christ or to reject Him. You're at the crossroads. And you have to choose. You cannot ride off in two directions. And you cannot stay there, because that's a choice as well. The place where two roads met. So for you, it is decision time. You must decide. And the Bible tells you in John chapter 3, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is already condemned, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Which is it? Are you condemned? Or are you not condemned? It depends on your decision. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, do it right now. Don't wait another minute. Do it right now. In your heart, in the secret of your heart, salvation is a transaction between, through the Spirit of God, between God and the soul of the man. It is not some overt thing. It is in the heart of man. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So if you're here without Christ, trust Him now. Receive Him. And as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for Your word. We're thankful for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for this graphic illustration of man's inability to save himself, and for the glorious presentation of the One who is able to save us even unto the uttermost. Give help, our God, should there be one in this room who has never trusted Thee, may they do so at this moment and be gloriously saved. We pray in the name of our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.